This week on the Federalist Radio Hour.
I'm curious how you see the failures of the higher education system in that, do you believe, you know, the average American child has too much or too little knowledge or just the wrong knowledge?
Subscribe to The Federalist on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, be sure to visit my website, www.sarahacarter.com. That's sarahacarter.com for my latest reporting and stories. While you're there, be sure to subscribe to my email list so that we can stay in touch. I like to stay in touch with y'all, and I also love to read your reviews, love to hear your messages, love to get your emails, your Twitter reposts and all of that. So please just keep letting me know what you want us to talk about, and we'll keep doing it here on The Sarah Carter Show. Hey, today we're going to dive deep into the ongoing protests and crisis in China. Why is this happening? How the CCP is cracking down and what it means for the future of Taiwan, Hong Kong, and China, and for that matter, the United States. I would say this is going to affect the globe as a whole. I'll also be joined by retired director of Special Operations Division of the DOJ and DEA, Derek Maltz. He is a great friend of mine, but a warrior, a true warrior for our nation, and somebody who I am honored and humbled to be friends with. We're going to discuss how law enforcement is struggling to enforce order because of the terrible leadership in Washington, D.C. That is right up at the top with President Biden and his so-called border czar, Kamala Harris. This is going to be a powerful episode, so stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. Hey, everyone, please follow and subscribe. Get all the links at sarahacarter.com. At sarahacarter.com. Don't forget the A. And while you are there, sign up for our email list so that you don't get shadow banned. Thank you, Elon Musk, for taking over Twitter. Thank God. But we still have issues with Facebook and some of the other social media platforms. So let's just stay in touch. Sign up for that email list, folks. Before I get to Derek Maltz and China, I want to tell you a little bit about an organization that I absolutely love and one that represents, I believe, the Sarah Carter podcast so well. It is AMAC. It's the Association of Mature American Citizens, and it is the fastest growing 50 plus organization in America. And believe it or not, there's a lot of young people that belong to AMAC that are part of this organization because AMAC does what no other organization will do for you in Washington, D.C. They will literally go to battle for you on the front lines of the swamp. I'm telling you, I know they do this. They are up on every bit of legislation, and they are ready to fight for you. By joining AMAC, you are literally taking the very first steps to saving the America that you love. AMAC offers an alternative to just about every benefit that that other group offers, but without, listen to this, but without a liberal agenda. I stand with AMAC, and I hope that you will too. I encourage you to join today at amac.us/Carter. That's C-A-R-T-E-R. That's AMAC.us/Carter, C-A-R-T-E-R. The benefits of membership are great, but guess what? The cause is even greater. Join today at amac.us/Carter. Folks, what we are witnessing right now in China is historic. The fact that the Chinese people are actually speaking out against President Xi Jinping is really noteworthy, considering that they are putting their lives on the line. These are people that are already so exhausted of the tyranny, so exhausted of being locked down under these COVID zero tolerance regulations that, by the way, our government so easily adopted from the tyrants in China, from the Communist Party. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that because China was the first, and Italy as well, to do these lockdowns, right? Which weren't even based on science, not even based on science, folks. That's a fact, based on fear. Fear. And this is what tyrannical leaders do. They strike fear into the hearts of people. If they can't do it with their heavy hand and their regulations and their credit scores in China and their communist dictatorships, they strike fear into the hearts of their people. Wow, a virus, such a perfect situation for lockdowns. The Chinese people in Beijing and throughout the provinces of China are done with President Xi Jinping. They are done with the Chinese Communist Party for the most part. But you know what really gave them the impetus? Every single time the Chinese government locks them down, it gives them more and more strength. More and more strength, because there is nothing that humanity hates more. And I know you guys feel this way, than being locked down and trapped. It's the reason why we have prisons, right? We take bad guys, we put them in prison, we lock them up, unless we're Democrats and in Democratic district district attorneys in Democratic states, then we just let them go. We don't even punish them. But there is nothing more than a human being or anything, even any animal, you know, despises more than being trapped, right? You either fight back or you lose your desire to live. Think about that. That's what happens in communist regimes when people feel trapped, when people no longer have the ability to do for themselves, right? To be able to think freely, to be able to speak freely, to be able to walk freely, to breathe air freely, to think, I'm free. I'm free. This is what happens when people are standing up to tyranny, folks. You know, it was a nationwide protest all through the weekend. I think, you know, what little information we got out of Beijing, we got in our news media, the BBC, actually, we're going to play a clip in a little bit of a BBC reporter that was, encountering the Chinese government and got beat up by trying to report the truth coming out of China. The little clips that we've had show people demonstrating in the streets. Fox News actually has this great report on Sunday. They had spread to some 20 provinces, these protests throughout China, the demonstrations over the country's zero COVID policy. And by the way, a deadly fire in a high-rise building broke out. It cost 10 people their lives because nobody could get emergency services there. Everything was locked down. So these people just died, burned alive, right? But don't worry. Don't worry. We're stopping the spread of COVID. What is going on here? I'm going to tell you what's going on here. I'm going to play this clip in a minute, but I'm going to tell you what's going on here. The Chinese government, and this is my opinion, but it's based on my years of reporting in war zones. And I lived in Saudi Arabia. I lived in a monarchy. I'm not saying that was anything like China, but there is tyranny there as well. You know, there are, you can't break a law there, but this is the Chinese government's way of keeping their society in control, because they are losing control of their society right now. The Chinese Communist Party is losing control of their society, and they will do everything they can to keep people locked down. I want you to listen to this clip. I'm going to give credit to Jack Posobiec for his Twitter for putting it up there. He's been really great about posting all these clips from China. Jack Posobiec is a good friend of mine. And I want you to take a listen to this. This is one of those protests in near Beijing, near Tiananmen Square. You can see how many people were in the streets. If you watch this on YouTube, go to my YouTube channel. You can see these clips on my YouTube channel. It's incredible to me. It's incredible as human beings that we're willing to stand up and say, you know, once our freedom is taken from us, willing to stand and put our lives on the line. I want you to think about this. For everyone who is, and some people really are terrified of COVID. Some people are really terrified of viruses, things that, you know, I mean, we have no control over. In some cases, we can't even see. Viruses have existed since the dawn of man, and we have always been struggling with them. But I want you to think about this. The government in China, even our own government in some cases, especially during the COVID lockdowns, was saying, we're doing this for your benefit. We're doing this to save your lives. We saw children commit suicide. We have seen people in China jump out of their buildings to their death because they are being locked down. We see people can't even get to the food. Really? They can't even get food to put on their table to feed their children because somehow, quote unquote, think of the illogical reasoning behind all of this. The government is saving us from getting COVID, right? Which we all know now, we've all experienced, almost everybody in the world has had. And certainly some people tragically have died of COVID, yes. And as well as people have died of the flu, as well people have died of smallpox and going back in time, the Spanish flu. And yes, we have had to deal with these viruses on our planet. But I want you to think about fear. I want you to think about what fear does. That so many people would be willing to give up their freedom or to give up their principles, to give up what they know is right because somebody scared them, because the government terrified them, because they decided that, wow, there is this invisible virus that may remotely have a chance of taking my life, which existed all the time anyways, I'm telling you. But we're going to give it up to the government. We're going to let the government protect us somehow. But in the end, it was never a protection, was it? It's all about tyranny. Look at what is happening in China. All of those people standing, facing off with the Chinese Communist Party and Chinese leadership and the Chinese military really know that their lives could be taken at any moment, at any minute, as they stand there and protest what is happening in their country, as they stand up to President Xi and say, no more, we want liberty, we want freedom, right? So does COVID even matter to them anymore? They're willing to give up their life right there and then. They're willing to do it because, folks, there is something more important in almost always more important than life. And that is liberty and freedom. That is our ability to make our own choices. And it's not just something that happens in America. It's a human right. It's a human right. You should have dignity, right? That's how easy we can lose our freedom. Just like that. You give the governments enough power and just like that, they will seize it, they will take it, and it will be so difficult for you to get that power back. That's why people warn all the time, please don't give your power away. Do not give it away. The government works for you. You do not work for the government. We are not subjects of the government. In China, authorities were quick to crack down on the protests and they sought to limit their spread by taking out tools that people were using to talk to each other, to communicate with one another. Not only were they locked in their apartments, now they can't even talk to one another. Can you imagine? They took away tools like Apple AirDrop. Protesters were using that to communicate with one another. How brilliant is that, right? They were doing that. But under the latest software update, iOS 16.1.1, iPhone owners in China can only use AirDrop, listen to this, to receive files, images, and videos from other non-contacts for 10 minutes. That's what they do. Every time Apple does these software updates, Apple should be ashamed of itself. You know, because they're working with the Chinese government to do this. I'm positive of this. It's not like they could just do this on these updates, you know? And every time they do these updates, you don't think Apple does it here in the United States with the feds for tracking phones and everything? Oh, we're going to do a big update. And then somebody gets a new phone and then they're tracking that phone or something like that in the updates. Of course they do. Of course they do. And it's with cooperation with these big corporate companies, right? And that's pretty frightening. That's pretty frightening. This is what we have to watch out for. Is we're giving away our liberty and our freedom and our rights. And it's like we're doing it without even a hesitation. People in China are willing, some people, to jump from skyscrapers to their death because all they want is liberty. Do you really think they care whether or not they got COVID? And what kind of a nation do we live in when we terrified our children? You know, oh, and our people like, oh, if you go out without a mask, and they're, by the way, they're trying to bring the masks back now. That's just crazy. If you go out without a mask, you're going to kill your grandparents. Yeah, live with that. Live with that. You kill her. I'm just disgusted with it. It blows my mind. I want to go really quick before I get to the end of the show, and we're going to talk a little bit about, I'm going to talk to Derek Maltz, and we're also going to talk about ICE making an arrest of over 130 illegal migrant sex offenders. Yes, 130 sex offenders were picked up. You got to stay till the end of the show because this is just unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know, that would happen. But before we get there, I want to talk really quickly. A report that came out, Chinese authorities were caught assaulting reporters on the ground. And I know this very well because I'm a journalist and I've worked in war zones. I've worked in Afghanistan, Iraq, Pakistan. You are always afraid on the front lines when you're making reports, especially when you're in countries like Afghanistan, where the Taliban is always hiding in plain sight, or where members of the government were sympathetic to the Taliban. That kind of fear that you would be taken or that you would be beaten was always there. Well, here's Chinese authorities. They were caught on tape assaulting reporters and the press, like BBC correspondent Edward Lawrence. I want you to take a full look at this clip and think about what it takes to report the truth and why the First Amendment is the most important amendment in a democracy. Really, truly is. That and the Second Amendment, but I would say the First. Because we have to be able to speak freely. We have to have liberty. Watch this. Here in this scene, you can, someone's filming from above and you can literally see the police taking Edward Lawrence into custody. They have him on the ground. They were holding him down. And you can see that people are still trying to get video out. I mean, this is incredible video. The fact that people can even get some of it out is amazing to me because China knows everything that's going on. I had a friend that was in China recently and they said that they were taking pictures. I think it was somewhere in Beijing, maybe somewhere near Tiananmen Square. And they went to send a picture to their family member and a big like sign came on their phone that literally said, this picture cannot be transmitted. It is near a government like facility or something like that. It basically forbid them from transmitting the photo. So they were literally inside my friend's phone. Think about that. Literally inside their phone saying, you cannot send this picture. So basically in China, everybody knows in the government, I guess their overseers, right, are watching what is going on. So the fact that there are people that can get these videos out of China is absolutely incredible to me. But where do we go from here, folks? Where does it go from here? Because we have China at our doorstep. We have China in Central America. We have the Chinese government literally has police stations inside the United States, yes, admitted by our government. They have these kind of oversight police stations in the United States to keep watch on their dissidents and keep watch on their students and workers that are here in the U.S. How do we even allow that? We have China buying up land. If you haven't seen or you haven't actually listened to my podcast, The Dark Wars, The Border, if you have not checked out that podcast, you must. We have experts talking about this. China literally buying land, large swaths of land all across America, not only farmland, but land near our military installation, sensitive farmland. We also know that the Chinese Communist Party, along with Huawei, has put systems into our cellular towers, 5G systems that are there. Oh, by the way, they're right near our ICBM nukes in Montana. I don't know. I would think that would be kind of worrying. So as you're watching what is happening in China, remember, this isn't so far from home. Literally, we are at the mercy, in many ways, of our government's failure to take care of our national security, to protect the United States from our adversaries like China. We better do something to stop it. That means we got to vote these losers out of office in Washington, D.C., and put people in that are actually going to do the job. You will have no one to cry to when this happens. If we don't protect our country, who will? You guys, before I get to Derek Maltz, I want to talk to you about MyPillow, somebody who does care about American ingenuity and American products. That's Mike Lindell. And right now, he has a big special of the year. Yes, on his six-piece towel set, regularly $89.98. Now you can get the six-piece towel set for $39.98. That's with a 60-day money-back guarantee extended. Yes, extended. So if you buy between now and December 25th, you will have a 60-day money-back guarantee extended through March 1st, 2023. You can't beat that. It's made with cotton grown in the United States, and the towels are awesome. For a limited time, get the MyPillow six-piece towel set, regularly $89.98, now for only $39.98 at MyPillow.com/Carter with promo code Carter. There you'll find deep discounts on all MyPillow products and get your six-piece MyPillow towel set for only $39.98. Shop MyPillow.com/Carter, promo code Carter. That's MyPillow.com/Carter. So I got Derek Maltz, my good friend and former director of special operations for the Special Operations Division underneath the DOJ and the DEA. I want to talk to you first, Derek. First, I want to say thank you for joining the show. First and foremost.
Thank you for having me, Sarah.
I know. Well, thank you for being on, because I know you've been traveling a lot and I'm catching you in between airports or something. So I appreciate you taking this time, because I thought of nobody better than you right now to talk about what's going on in China, considering you and I have, you know, had long discussions with regard to the Chinese Communist Party. Now we see these protests in China, but we also know that China is responsible for the exportation of fentanyl precursors that are used in Mexico to basically ship fentanyl into the United States in these counterfeit pills. And I kind of wanted to get your idea of what might happen here. Do you think this could disrupt those exports, or do you think it's not going to have any effect at all?
I mean, Sarah, we have no leadership from the U.S. right now. We have our border czar down in the Philippines saying hello and thank you to the fishermen, okay? So I don't have any confidence that anything will slow down. As a matter of fact, as Mike McCall said, the greatest foreign policy for China is to sell fentanyl to America, because it's killing our kids and our future generation at record levels. So I anticipate that business will continue to crank up. The Mexican cartels are making billions of dollars. They're taking advantage of the wide open border and the weaknesses and the vulnerability. So I don't have any hope right now, honestly, that the what's going on in China is going to slow down the madness in Mexico.
You know, Derek, I know Michael McCall, and I completely agree with him on this. I think this is their foreign policy. I also, you know, the reason I asked the question is because you'll hear a lot of the commentators from, you know, all the different cable news outlets, whether that's CNBC, MSNBC, even some on Fox News and others, debating about these, you know, protests in China. But what we have seen is that the Chinese government's zero tolerance COVID policy is really about locking down their people and keeping people from standing up to them. I mean, this is a totalitarian regime. I mean, they are certainly, there is no liberty, there is no freedom in China. I'm worried about the people that are protesting right now. Is that something at you, I mean, looking at your work at the DOJ, looking at the work that you, you know, everything that you know about as far as foreign policy and dealing with communist regimes such as China, is this something that you're seeing as well, or you're hearing about from people you know?
Well, what I'm hearing, Sarah, is there's a lot of concern. People that actually understand China and the unrestricted warfare, very, very concerned about the deaths of our kids and the deaths of our citizens at record levels. So obviously, with the precursors coming at record levels, not just for the production of fentanyl, but just look at the massive seizures of methamphetamine that have been made as well in America. But the big thing now, Sarah, is they're also so, as you know, because you broke a story on Hannity, and I appreciate your work on this area because it's well underreported. all of the cash that's being picked up in America, where the hell do people think they're getting all this cash from? It's from the cartels. It's designed perfectly. I give them so much credit. They're picking up millions of dollars. There was a statistics reported in that one story that 58% of the real estate transactions in America by the Chinese businessmen are cash. That's because the Chinese students are picking up millions of dollars all over the country, and they're picking it up from drug cartels that are destroying our families and our communities. This is really serious. And unfortunately, you know, you've been ringing the bell a long time. I joked around the other day how you were, your documentary, you were way ahead of all of these people talking about declaring the cartels as terrorists. I was there with you. And now you look what's happening, 4 years of hell. You know, one of the things, Sarah, that I picked up on is that it's interesting that Bill Barr, after he retired, he now talks about how the cartels should be treated like terrorists, just like ISIS. You can't go after them as criminals. Well, that's what we've been saying for 4 or 5 years now.
Well, we tried to push that. Derek, you and I both,
exactly,
along with Heidi Riggs, along with Chris Farrell, we testified in Ohio. We created a documentation. We had documentation that was put together by Judicial Watch. We know the president was given the opportunity to take a look at it, and President Trump at the time took it very seriously. But there were people, even Bill Barr, they didn't stand up for that back then. We had asked, we pleaded and begged.
Sarah, it's much easier to say stuff like this when you retire. You don't have the responsibility. Clearly, it was the right move at the time. So many people have died in America because of the actions of the Mexican cartels working with the Chinese transnational criminals. But right now, it's just way out of control, and it's very sad that no one's talking about it from the White House. That's the worst part, Sarah.
Well, they're not even talking about it. They have no strategy to handle this. And my fear is this, Derek, because we're watching what's happening right now. And the reason I brought up the protests in China, and I think that it's important, is that I want the American people to understand that the Chinese government is weeding out the people that they do not want anymore in their society. I truly believe, and this is talking to experts who have spent a lot of time in that region, people who understand how the Chinese Communist Party works, the Chinese government understands that it can use its zero tolerance policy to lock down its nation, to basically give it the authority to go in, make arrests, they were sealing people basically into their own apartments. People were literally jumping from apartments. So what makes the United States think that with the Chinese government, the Chinese Communist Party treats its own citizens that way, that the Chinese Communist Party isn't looking and isn't actively working on irregular warfare in the United States? I believe that it's almost like the Trojan horse, Derek. I believe it's right under our noses. We're not watching what's really happening. You know, some people were throwing out alarm bells, but the government is really not paying attention. And when they do pay attention, I'm afraid it's going to be too late.
Right. Well, it already is too late if you talk to the families that are around the country that
right.
had to bury their loved
You're
ones.
Right.
You know, Sarah, I know you've talked to a lot of the families. So, I mean, the only way to stop it is to recognize what is happening and then deal with it aggressively. Right now, just the chemical flow into the corrupt ports in Mexico, we could do a lot better on that. As far as the border being wide open, I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, I don't want to talk to you about the border. You're a border expert and spent a lot of years at the border, and you've seen the differences. What kills me is that you have all these border experts that speak openly, talk in a common sense way we all can relate to, and nobody's listening to them, and no one's paying attention, and they're getting away with it. The million gotaways and all of these apprehensions and all this now without Title 42, our cities are going to be inundated, run down, our taxes are going to go up, the crime's going to continue to go up. I mean, look what's going on in New York City, Sarah, with the DA ordering his ADAs to downgrade these felonies to misdemeanors, and then we only had 29% convictions of misdemeanors. I mean, it's terrible. And then they're letting people out. There was 20,000 pills of fentanyl that was seized recently. They let the guys out because the antiquated laws and the bail reform stuff that's going on in New York. I mean, it's so hard to understand and comprehend, Sarah. I really appreciate that you are continuing to push this so the public can hear it firsthand.
You know, I'm going to keep pushing it until we find a way to solve it to save our children's lives, Derek, just like you. I'm not going to stop. You had mentioned that our government is failing to deal with this problem effectively, and that we know is a given. But you also play, Derek, a leadership role in implementing a deconfliction program within law enforcement. How badly do our agencies, need to work together? Or are they not working together to attack these difficult issues? These were some of the most important issues that we discovered after 9/11, was that our agencies were not sharing information. They were not working together. That's why we missed a lot of the warning signs, even on 9/11. And I see this as an attack on our nation. Is there anything we can do to rectify this? Or where are we at right now when it comes to this?
Well, first of all, Sarah, there's intelligence gaps all over the place. And the primary reason is because we have mixed messages from the top. There's no accountability. Law enforcement officers join to enforce the laws and keep people safe, right? Right now, we're talking about the borders closed, right? The DHS secretary, we have operational control of the border. Meanwhile, we have morale issues, not only in Border Patrol and CBP, but law enforcement around the country, federal, state, and local. We have suicides on the way up. We see the humanitarian crisis going on down there. Law enforcement can't believe this. I mean, I was doing this 28 years. It's hard for me to accept the fact that there's no accountability on the criminals that are operating in this country. Like I talked about, you know, what the border czar. I mean, it's really insulting that she was designated how long ago to be the border czar. We haven't seen her at the border. She's all over the world. She can't even put a sentence together. But yet she's supposed to be our border czar. So law enforcement is doing pretty well considering they get no support. They're saving lives every day, Sarah. If you look at just the amount of fentanyl fake pills that they've seized and all these drugs that they're seizing on the border in America, but they're really scrambling. But it's very sad. You know, we have this transnational crime strategy that's been around since 2011 with President Obama. And there's no accountability. There's no operational implementation plan. There's no accountability even on the law enforcement when they say there's these top-notch issues. Then what are we doing? But you can't blame law enforcement. Their leadership is gone. They have no leaders at the top. It's something we've never seen, Sarah, this bad. There's duplication of effort. There's redundancies of capabilities. There's wasted money. There's so much we could talk about in this alone. There's a federal law enforcement exodus. It's not just state and locals. All my friends, they're leaving left and right. Because they can't take it anymore, Sarah.
Right. And I'm hearing guys saying, you know what? I'm retiring on the job. I'm done. I'm not going to try to do this anymore. No one's going to back me. No one has my back. Just this morning, Victor Avila, I think you know him, former ICE agent that was almost killed in Mexico, whose partner was killed in Mexico. He's down at the border with my friend Gary Brugman and some others. And they literally are in Eagle Pass. They walked up to the border. Gary sent me photos and a video. Hundreds, probably 700 plus people just coming across the border and walking right up to our Border Patrol agents there on the front line. You know, and you got two Border Patrol agents or three, and now they've got to process 700 people like in Eagle Pass just in the morning. And they don't even know who these folks are.
Sarah,
Well, the drug dealers, Derek, you know as well as I do, when they move that many people through in the early morning hours or late at night, what are the drug dealers doing? What are the narcos doing? They're moving their loads on the other side where nobody can get them because now they're all busy processing and babysitting and taking care of people that are turning themselves in.
Right. They're brilliant. Flooding the zone is the term that I was given by Border Patrol. They flood the zone with the people, and then they use the open area to smuggle all these high-value targets into America, all the cash back to Mexico, all the guns to Mexico, and the drugs, of course, that are killing at record levels back north into the states, all over America. And, you know, one of the things, Sarah, that I always like to say is that, you know, a leader is supposed to eliminate confusion, not create it. Right now, this White House has created too much confusion. Even law enforcement is in disarray, which is very sad for me to say. But talking to people every day, this is kind of my assessment, that they have this feeling that they're not being supported, they're not getting the necessary resources, and honestly, as the technology is exploding in this world, the bad guys are taking advantage of the advanced telecommunications, the advanced money laundering processes, as law enforcement is in some ways in the dark ages because their leadership isn't fighting for them. And Congress, by the way, is out to lunch. That's another whole story.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree with you on that. I mean, I'm praying to God that when, you know, the next year rolls around and we've got a Republican Congress and our chairmen are all lined up and ready to go, that they conduct these investigations. But honestly, even with the investigations, Derek, even with these investigations that they'll be having in the House side, nothing gets done unless you have a Department of Justice that actually wants to do its job and an administration that actually wants to do the job that it was intended to do, which is protect the American people. I have two more quick questions for you. Maybe they're not quick, but I'm hoping you can answer them for me. First of all, what needs to be done as far as, in your opinion, we got a Republican Congress coming in. We know they're going to do those investigations. What needs to be done to effectively begin to fix this problem? And is it even fixable anymore, Derek? Is it even fixable? Well, what advice can you give our audience? Because we're feeling pretty helpless right now.
Well, you have to have full transparency, and that alone is not happening. So it's hard for me to think that over the next 2 years, there's going to be transparency. Like, if you can't even prosecute Hunter Biden for all these felonies and all these allegations of misconduct,
right,
and the Biden family, if you're not going to do that, then people are just losing hope in the system. Department of Justice is more concerned about going after parents that care about their kids' education as domestic terrorists than going after Mexican cartels and ripping them apart and forcing the Mexican cartels through all the power of the United States government to go destroy these chemical production labs. But the reality is you have to hold people accountable. You have to have a rule of law. And Sarah, the reality is the rule of law is kind of vanished over the last couple of years. Nobody feels there's any deterrent. They get arrested, they get out the same day, right? It's just nonstop,
right,
and not just in the state system, but in the federal system as well. Prosecutors are not prosecuting. This is a big complaint that we get all the time. You know, I get calls all the time from agents saying, why am I spinning my wheels? I bring a case to the U.S. Attorney's Office, and because of the politics in my city, and because they're lazy, they won't prosecute the cases. So that's really a big problem. But you have to start somewhere. So let's see January 1st. When the new Congress gets in, have the hearings, have full transparency, hold people accountable, you know, put the pressure on the Department of Justice. But honestly, based on the actions of this attorney general, I don't feel very optimistic he's going to prosecute many of these cases. And if they do prosecute, they'll play games. They'll seal They'll seal the plea agreement of Hunter Biden, and then they'll say, you know, we have to establish, you know, accountability across the board. So now we're going to go hard after President Trump because he violated the law. So it's a bunch of BS politics. Meanwhile, the taxpayers suffer.
Yeah, meanwhile, well, not only the taxpayers, but like you say, the mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, friends, neighbors, everybody who has had someone in their life that has been killed by literally being poisoned by the counterfeit fentanyl tablets that are pouring into our nation, and also the addiction rates. I mean, there is nothing more tragic than watching what is happening to our country and realizing that we could be losing a generation of people because nobody is doing their job. Okay, I was going to make that my last question, but should we designate some of the, I think, more prominent narco groups terrorist organizations, or is there another way around this? Because I really, truly believe that we have to do something. And if we keep doing what we've done in the past, it's never going to work. It's just going to be like beating our head against a wall.
Right. So first of all, the Attorney General, former Attorney General Barr, said something which is right on point. You can't continue to go after the cartels as criminal enterprises. It's not working. We can't get the evidence. We can't get the indictments. If we get the indictments, we can't locate them. We can't apprehend them. We can't extradite them quick enough. We got to destroy those production labs. But I don't care if we designate them as cartel and terrorists or not. I just want the full force of the United States government to go after them. And I want accountability on the leaders of these departments, Homeland Security, Department of Justice. We have to put the best and brightest in the DOD, intelligence community, State Department, Treasury Department, and our law enforcement agencies to go after these cartels like we've never done before. And if the Mexican government is not going to go along with our plan, then we have to use diplomatic pressure, and we have to use whatever we can. But at the end of the day, we have to destroy those labs in Mexico one way or another. They're not going after them like they did. We used to have ongoing operations with CIMAR to go after these labs, destroy these chemical labs. Right now, that's not happening. You see the volume of drugs that we're seizing in America? Just imagine what's getting into America, because what we only see is, what, 5 or 10%? You know, if that. I don't even know how you make these, you know, claims if you don't even know what's getting in. It's kind of like the gotaways. We say there's a million known gotaways, but how many are really here? We don't know what we don't know. So
you're absolutely right.
Say, Sarah, one last thing on this terrorist designation. Part of the reason why it was slowed down is because of the bureaucratic definition they have on a terrorist organization. It's antiquated. It's outdated. So you can call them whatever you want, but you need a whole of government approach. You need every capability and every authority to go after them. And right now it's slow motion. Where is the sense of urgency? I don't understand.
Yeah, where's our borders are? Where's our lawyers? Where's our Department of Justice? Where's everybody saying we got to do something about this now? Let's have a meeting. I tell you this, Derek, I agree with you. It is antiquated. We need to fix whatever problems are there so that we can move forward with a law that'll actually work. But the head of Sinaloa, I mean, Chapo's now in our prison here in the U.S., but the new head of Sinaloa, the head of Nueva Generacion, the head of La Familia, the head of Beltran Leyva and whatever other cartels are out there, those guys and those women are serial killers, in my opinion. They are mass murderers, and they have a right to be treated as such. That means I think they should be eliminated too. I don't see any reason why, you know, we go after Al-Qaeda and we target, you know, bin Laden the way that we did for years and years, hunting him down when he obviously did the most horrific attack in United States history. Well, we're having horrific attacks every day here. 107,000 Americans, over 60%, died of that group in 2021 due to fentanyl poisoning or fentanyl in the opioid. I am serious. These are mass murderers. They should be treated as such. We should be on the offensive with them, not on the defensive. I don't understand it. And you're right. We should be taking out those labs as well. But every single one of those guys and gals that are running these cartels should literally feel like Pablo Escobar right now. They should be on the run, hiding in every hole, in every mountain, wondering if somebody's going to come and blow them up. That is the way I feel about those people right now.
Absolutely. And by the way, like, the Mexican president, hugs for thugs policies is failing miserably. So how much longer are we going to rely on his policies? Okay?
So
they have to feel the pain. They have to be on the run. They have to be disrupted. Right now, they're operating with impunity. I've never seen anything like it. And they're making billions. Sarah, like, I never knew much about the whole human smuggling aspects at the border. I focused on the drugs. And in talking to the experts, that the former Homeland Security experts, friends of mine, it's mind-boggling the amount of money and the humanitarian issues, as you know very well, that come up from the human smuggling and sex trafficking at the border. And the cartels taking total advantage of that too.
Yeah, and as you know what, Derek, and this is for everyone out there, I'm sure they're thinking it too. I know I thought it all the time. But it's like, with those hundreds of billions of dollars that the cartels are putting in their pockets, they are amassing armies. They're getting semi-submersible submarines. They have foot soldiers. They have people on their payroll inside the government. And eventually it's going to reach a point where they're going to be their own nation state. And we're going to have a very difficult time dealing with them. We won't even be able to designate them anything because we're going to be dealing with a shadow government. And that is going to be the biggest complication of all. We are surrounded by the enemy. And I truly believe that if the United States does not take this seriously, eventually it'll be to our detriment as a nation. Thank you so much.
No problem. One last thing I just want to say. When I was at the border, one thing that stood out in my mind, and I have flashbacks about it, is those drones that they have in our country, and they're dropping explosives on their adversaries already. So it's very scary. But thank you very much, Sarah.
Oh, wow. That was like a big wow. as you hung up the phone. I did hear about these. You're right. And I'll explain that. I'm going to bring you back on, Derek, because I think we should talk about that. We should have a special where we talk about what is it that these cartels have amassed, and how difficult will it be for our law enforcement, who's bound by rules and regulations, you know, to fight an enemy that has none. So I'm going to definitely bring you back on about that. Thank you so much. Safe travels, my friend. You're the best. Thank you for taking your time.
Thank you very much. Keep up the great work.
So it never ends at the border, as you all know that, and it doesn't always end at the border. It ends up in your communities, in your towns all across America. And immigration and customs enforcement, obviously trying to do their job and doing the best that they can, have made arrests. Yes, they arrested over 130 illegal migrant sex offenders. Yes, you've heard that correctly. 130 illegal migrant sex offenders. This is a small drop in the bucket compared to what's out there. But thank God they have done this. Just the News put together a terrifying report. John Solomon, my friend there at Just the News, on the announcement by officers with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement and Removal Operations. The data released Monday unearthed that the agency had made these arrests. These offenders are illegally inside the United States. Let me tell you something. Every single time I speak to an ICE official, especially ICE officers or ICE officials, they are always talking about this. They have had incidences. This is one. Let me fill you in on this little story. This was interesting. I know this ICE officer who actually made an arrest. It was at the Phoenix airport. What tipped them off on this particular person that was getting on a plane, actually waiting for his plane to arrive, I guess, to head to Mexico, was that they had this strange kind of tag on their bag, which is usually a way of identifying other migrants or traffickers. They put like a yellow ribbon. Sometimes you would think that would just be for locating your luggage. No, this is actually for them to locate each other in the airport. Different people committing different crimes have different ways of notifying one another, right? And this was one of the ways. So they noticed that, and they approached this illegal migrant who was actually going back to Mexico. But they asked him some questions. They ran a check on them. Lo and behold, this person was wanted on the East Coast for three separate incidences of child molestation. Think about that. So they made the arrest. This was years ago. They made the arrest. They took the person into custody, feeling like this was just a few years ago, feeling like they were going to get, like, you know, treated like they were gods for taking this guy into custody. They, you know, their supervisor, on the other hand, and by the way, this was, I'm going to apologize. This was during the Obama administration. That's how long I've been covering this. Their supervisor, on the other hand, chided them for making that arrest, because Aeromexico was offended. They didn't want ICE officers going anywhere near their passengers. So the supervisor chided them in private and then told them never to do that again. And you know what they did? They ended up rotating the groups that were at the airport, both ICE and Border Patrol, away from Aeromexico for a time while people were boarding the flights, so that they wouldn't have this happen again. So this is the issue that we have been dealing with now for some time. So having 130 illegal migrant sex offenders arrested is a huge win, because they age range from like 24 to 65. But the issue is that we have for years been allowing criminals to cross the border because we're not doing the appropriate checks. That is what is happening. We are not doing the appropriate checks, and people are coming into our country. They're literally walking in here with records. And many times, even when we run the checks, guys, unless they've broken the law here in the United States, we wouldn't even know it. So think about this. 3 million this past year, or 2.7 encounters, right? 2.7 million encounters, about 1 million known gotaways. And while President Biden is in office, they're guesstimating that over 5 million, I'm sure it's way more than that, will have come into the country. So I want you to think about the kind of danger that we're in, right? And what this presents as far as national security as well as local and state law enforcement, as well as resources, as well as your taxpayer dollars, all because our federal government doesn't want to shut down the southern border and do their job and just follow the law. That's what's happening. So unless we start voting people out of office and saying no more, we are going to be just as responsible for this mess as everyone else. That's why I had Derek Maltz on the show. That's why I'm going to bring people on this show that are going to make a difference, people that are going to give you the tools that you need to protect your family, to protect your homes, to protect our nation. So we have to make a decision for ourselves right now. Do we want to save our nation and its foundation and its principles for our future children and our grandchildren? Or do we just want to throw it out? Throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? Just get rid of all of it. Because why? Why are we going to allow this to happen? Anyways, that's why we bring the people on the show. That's why we give you the tools that you need to do your job. And that's why it is so important that we all do what is necessary to protect our country. Thank you so much for being a part of the Sarah Carter Show. Thank you so much, Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers, for the great work that you do and for making those arrests. And I hope that one day you have a government that actually backs you in your job and what you do, as well as Border Patrol agents. Remember to follow me on Twitter at Sarah Carter DC, on Instagram at S Carter DC. God bless you. God bless our great nation. And God bless the great state of Texas.
This week on the Federalist Radio Hour.
I'm curious how you see the failures of the higher education system in that. Do you believe, you know, the average American child as they're growing up has too much or too little knowledge or just the wrong knowledge? That's something I've been thinking a lot about lately, that I do, you know, the liberal arts approach.
I'm Emily Jashinsky of The Federalist. Subscribe to The Federalist on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.